Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Pre-Match.
Mutti. Mutti. But come on. We're not sleeping. It's for this one. For this one, you said yourself, we don't help you out, brother. We'll help you out on cooldown, bro.
Yeah. I thought we were a squad, though. I thought we were a team no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to put the assist through, everyone wants to celebrate when the goal is scored, but no one wants to put in the hard graft. Is that what you're saying?
No,
there?
Man. So, you say, yeah? you when you start to say, you're like, hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Pre-Match Booty. You know what I mean? That's what you say. You said yourself. You know what I mean? Or should I take over the reins here? I can, guys.
I knew that's where this was going. Are you listening to that?
Everyone at home, guys, if you feel I should be doing the intro, please let us know if you feel I should be doing the Thursday night intro.
This is what you call mutiny at the highest standard. I think, Wonga, this has been a long time coming, this sort of comment coming from Silo's mouth. I mean, he's been gearing up to this, hasn't he?
I don't know. Maybe that's why he's kept those admin controls there. waiting for the right time.
No, guys. It's not like that. You know what I mean? I'm just saying to Claudio that if he wants to do it, he needs to do it alone. On a Thursday night, the introduction. On a Tuesday night, the whole squad has to come in and go in and say, welcome to another episode of the cool, you know what I mean? You know? There's no welcome to...
Since when did you, like, you just decided these rules? That's also the interesting thing, hey, Wonga. He's just decided, no, Thursday you do it by yourself, Tuesday we all chip in. Yeah? Is that because Tuesday everyone shows up and on Thursday no one shows up, so we've got to carry the team here a little bit? Is that what you're saying?
Nah, I don't know. I think Silo's got a point, though. I mean, I also was also caught a bit of guard there. I thought you forgot what to say. The men for us to pitch in there.
All right, well, fine. No, good. Okay, I'm taking the rein again. As you can see, we've got Wonga in the top right corner, happy Gunner fan. His green screen's even improving with the Arsenal results. And then we've got Silo at the bottom there, Man United. I mean, last goal stoppage... We talk about Fergie time, might as well be Ole time at the moment, or should I say Ronaldo's time, pretty much. And then Celo's representing there with an orange cap, you know, representing the pre-match mini colours. Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
No, not too bad. Not too bad, man. All good. Yeah. I'm just glad it's almost the weekend, you know what I mean? And going to a new month, getting closer to the end of the year, man. Wow. Can you guys actually believe it? We've probably been doing the show for a year and a month, I think.
Yeah, so yeah, we started in September, yeah. We started early September, so you're right.
It's been a year, guys.
This
wow.
Officially our 97th episode, by the way.
Okay, so we're doing something special for the 100th show. Claudia's going to announce it soon.
Yeah, we're giving away a Golan shirt. I mean, there's one person watching us right now.
I think, obviously, it'll be probably during the international break that you have 100th show.
Must be, yeah. No, this is 97. So when's the international break?
It's next week.
The week after, yeah. It's next week. Yeah, week after this. Yeah.
We'll have cool down on Tuesday. And then Thursday, we'll probably try to do something with the international break. And then another Tuesday will probably be the 100th show, which is pretty exciting, man. I think we need to do something... Maybe, I don't know.
Get some champers ready, boys. Wonga, I know you don't drink, but you're gonna have to get champagne for this one. Do your best. Non-alcoholic champagne. You can get that from somewhere.
Yeah, I can get it from somewhere. Yo.
And then we all need to pop it at the same time. Okay, I think that's a good idea. Then we make a ritual for every
on
hundred.
Screen. Guys, you know it's gonna go pop, pop, pop. I like it. The way the connection is.
Next thing, it hits someone like, oh, and they're like, it's like, oh, I'm crying.
All right, let's just make sure you don't aim it towards yourself and you'll be fine. All right, let's talk about aiming it towards yourself. We're going to do a little bit of a Champions League update, largely because the other gentlemen aren't here, so we've got time to speak about our own side. So we might as well look. Wonga, you can look from an outside looking in because we know the Arsenal situation here, but that makes it all the better for your comments because it's completely objective. First game we want to look at is the game, last night's game, Man United. Ronaldo serving Ole yet again.
Yeah. Look, from what when I was watching it, Cicelo will agree with me. Valeria, I think the manager who felt hard done there. Even if it was a draw, I think Unai Emery would have been hacked. You know, that was their game. Every opportunity was coming down their side. And who's that, that left wing of theirs? The one who's causing Man United trouble.
No one knows his name, but we know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but he was, because I watched him on the weekend also. He also gave Madrid the same problems he gave Madrid. So, I think, look, I've not seen Dalot play before, but I mean, look, if I saw that guy on the weekend, and you're coming into I know they didn't have Wan-Bissaka there. I don't know who else you guys would have. But is Dalot the only option that you guys have to put there? Is it okay? Then that serves it. But
also the thing is, guys, I think you need to remember as well is that he was playing right back, right, and then his right winger was nowhere to be found. Nowhere.
So
there was a time when there was even an overlap where that's where he cut in and he shot. So Dalot doesn't know if he needs to block this guy or he's gonna pass it to his left the guy's left back, because now Greenwood is all the way up front there, not coming back and helping him out. So what you know, there are sometimes the other times Dalot was caught one on one. When it's a one on one, that's you. But when the overlaps happen, then I think then obviously the team needs to help out. You know what I mean? I think I don't know if you obviously saw the Man City and the PSG game where. The left back Mendes was having a problem with Mahrez in the first half, and what happened was because Neymar was not coming back, so what they did was they got Neymar to play a little bit more in the middle as almost like a 10, and they took Idrissa Gueye to the left to help him, you know, type of thing, because they saw every time they just pass it to Mahrez because it's going to be a 2-on-1 with Mahrez and Walker on the player. So I think coaches need to always see these things. But guys, I have a guy who doesn't see anything in a match. He just does this thing. He's like, oh, you know, he's just like, he doesn't change anything. No tactical changes, no tweaks. If things are not working, you'll never see something different. You'll never see like a let's consolidate type of thing. It's just a free for all vibes FC. And we're very lucky. My favorite Man United player saved us on the day.
David De Gea. Before we move on from the Diogo Dalot, the right back there, when I was looking at him, and I know obviously he was getting butchered on the day, but he's a young player. I mean, what's his age?
21, I think.
He's 21. He's a young player. And when I was looking at what he was doing from a defensive point of view, I liked everything he was doing, apart from the fact, I mean, he got beaten. That was an experience. He got too tight, and they beat him for pace every time. Yeah. But when I look at him in comparison to what I've seen so far throughout the league in terms of right backs pressing and closing down, even if I got to compare him to Trent, his defensive approach to how he closes a man down, he's doing all the right things. He's just getting caught ball watching, and the inexperience is what happened last night. He got caught because he wasn't learning quick enough.
Game time also help. You know, I think that's how you can only get better as a player.
Yeah,
game time. Absolutely. So for instance, you know, you've got at least he went on loan to AC Milan last season, and I think he probably got a good 25 to 30 games which is good. But now at Man United, you know, Solskjaer doesn't really rotate unless it's necessary. You know, Wan-Bissaka was obviously suspended, so the next Champions League game he's still gonna play. But then, are you gonna give him minutes in the league? You know, give him minutes in the league. You know what I mean? Rotate these guys so they can fight for the position. You know what I mean? I think that's what he should be doing. But he never does that. He uses always the same 14 to 15 players and relies on them only. And then when the other guys have to come in because of injuries, then they don't look as good. And you're like, ah, man, this guy, I really don't like him or whatever. But it's because he just played one game. The guy's got match fit. But yeah.
I think when I look, when I see it, like, but again, that's why, I know beginning of the season was saying, I said Man United were contending. And I think Celo did say, look, the only hindrance that he sees in his team is Ole.
Coach.
Is the coach. And now I'm starting to believe it. Like, the guy's name is Danjuma. But I watched the game with Madrid. I watched it. Guys, Danjuma.
On the weekend.
Against Madrid. He was giving Madrid problems. The same problems that Man United had. If you can go watch the replays, it's identical. It was identical. It was beating players 1v1s. He was cutting in. Dribbling was a problem. So if I'm watching that game, I'm thinking, yo, if I'm putting on a Dalot who hasn't played many games, you've got to somehow you've got to cancel that, because that was Villarreal's option and they had many opportunities from that. I mean, even if it doubled up, I agree it's not completely Dalot's fault. I mean, even the, like when Claudio was saying that, yeah, he made mistakes 1v1. I'm telling you, Claudio, tomorrow, if he goes 1v1 against Danjuma, Danjuma's going to beat him for pace. That guy's the problem. They needed to make sure that
the
option wasn't there for them.
And that's exactly the point that Celo's already highlighted. Celo's already highlighted. He's isolated. He was ball watching. He's a young player. And you're just saying he ripped a hole in the Real Madrid defense as well. So that's another thing they need to contend with. But like I said, from what I could see, and this is the irony in all of it, because I heard all the noise, oh, you know, he's having a terrible game, everyone's talking all the smack. Then I just started seeing everything he was doing. He gets close, he denies the player all the space, and the problem was he got too close to this player, maybe because he was fearful of him. But that's where the manager, to your point, said, well, the manager then only needs to look. He needs to then go, wait a minute, this kid is getting beaten all the time. He's not getting covered there. Let's double up now. Let's tell him to drop off. Let's get support. And then he wasn't getting it, personally speaking. But I like actually what I saw, because I keep going back to the point where the defensive manager like Mourinho brought you into the club. That means defensively, you've got something there. You know, and that's where I'm like, obviously, Ole's not the right manager then to be.
No, he's got great potential. He's still young. And I think, you know, every player, you know, at a young age, they still have so much to learn. You know, they've shown their potential in their development years, whether they're playing, you know, for the junior national teams and so on. And he's shown the potential, you know. And I think, obviously, with some game time, he'll look good, you know. You know, I think he just needs some game time. But you saw the game, guy. I don't know if you saw the game. But
the highlights.
Man United, we were lucky. De Gea made lots and lots of saves, man. I think we that first half, man, like we're just open sesame, man. You know, I think he probably made probably four saves, I think, in the first half. And guys, you should never be exposing your goalkeeper. You know, you need to protect him, make it difficult for the opponents to get shots away, you know what I mean, and so on and so forth. And if it's a deflection, then it's okay, you know. And that goal that came in the 51st minute after the second half, we weren't surprised, because they had been attacking the whole first half, and the second half started the same way, you know. I think, obviously, as I always say, guys, the individual brilliance at Man United will always sometimes save us, or sometimes it won't come through. And in that game, obviously that great free kick that Bruno took to Telles, and then the goal by Ronaldo. I think we were quite lucky. At least we got some points on the board, 3 points for group stage.
Yeah.
Well, we might as well move on to the Premier League then, because I mean Liverpool had a decent run there against Porto, like they always do. And I don't know if Wonga, if you want to comment on another side from the Champions League perspective before we jump straight into the Premier League.
Guys, we have to talk about Messi's goal, guys. Come on, guys. I want to talk about just Jack Grealish in particular, guys. Mm-hmm. People were talking a lot about him after the game against PSG. And what you saw is that a player who's playing, that was his debut. That was debut, not Champions League debut, but it's like his second Champions League game. But it's his debut of in a big game, you know, against a team that actually has good players, you know. And Ashraf Hakimi tore him apart. You know what I mean? Every time they were 1-on-1, Hakimi's faster than him, firstly, and Grealish plays slowly, so that allows Hakimi to get in. And then, like, Grealish had no answer, man. And he was just falling down and playing for fouls and everything. And he would get smoked and everything. And I was just like, wow, man, this is a rude awakening for him. This is the Champions League. This is the greatest club competition in the world. This is where you actually show if you're a good player or not. And if you can't do it in the Champions League on a Tuesday or Wednesday night evening, hey, man, you need to get it together. So I think that kind of showed him, hey, I'm not at the level that I'm supposed to be. And then just another thing is that Pep, with this Tinker Man thing of his, it's not good for Man City going forward. I think starting with Sterling wasn't the right choice. He should have started with Gabriel Jesus or Ferran Torres, because the two players at least have had a good start to the season in terms of the Premier League and the Champions League. And Sterling hasn't scored for 10 Champions League matches. So he was the wrong guy to start. But yeah, that's Pep for you. Sometimes he makes the wrong decision and he'll die by that sword.
The Messi goal, first goal for PSG. I know it was a great goal and it was a typical Messi finish. But what I want to talk about is his settling in phase at PSG. Obviously, you look at a man like Ronaldo, he's been around different places, he's hit the ground running. Messi's taken his time. Just in terms of the effect of moving to another team, finally playing with another team, how much do you think that's impacted his overall performance or initial sort of performance there at PSG?
I remember the first couple of games, the only thing is, for me, the only thing is he didn't get a goal. In those first games of his, I think it was one or two of them, he didn't get any goal. But I mean, when he came on the first game, goodness me, those guys were, was it Monaco who he played? But they were hacking him. How those guys didn't end up with a yellow card in the game, defeats me. Every time he got the ball, he'd get kicked, but he carried on running. You know, same thing he did like at Barcelona. And I think like then in Spain realized, look, kicking this guy is not gonna, get us anything. It's gonna get us cards. It's gonna get us cards. You have to like sort of, you know, show him the way. But that still doesn't really stop him, you know. And I think the same thing's gonna happen in France. Is they're gonna try and kick him. They're gonna obviously keep up with that. And eventually, the goals will come in. I mean, you saw Barca without him. I mean, it shows you what you can do if you have a good player and you can center your game around him. Now Barca
don't see that meme of Crystal Palace and saying this is what Barcelona are without Messi.
Yeah. I saw it. But what I want to say about Messi and him settling down at PSG, I think we need to also remember that Messi and Ronaldo are two different types of players. You know, Ronaldo is in the later part of his career, he's become like a goal scorer. Culture. You know, culture. So he's just been in the box scoring goals. He's not running at players and cutting in from the left wing and scoring from, you know, outside the box type of thing anymore. Whereas Messi, as he's gotten older, but he's always been, he's a playmaker, you know, and he comes deep to collect the ball and to create stuff for other players and to be a part of the intricacies and the transition and everything. So I think he had to, you know, obviously adjust to the style of play that they play first, because he's not the guy at the end of the cross. He's the guy who makes the pass to Ashraf Hakimi overlapping and he crosses to Icardi or Mbappe or Neymar the box, you know what I mean? So I think that's what's happened. And obviously, I think as time goes on, they also find what's the best way to utilize Messi. So obviously, that game, they utilize him on the right wing. And another game, they utilize him as a number 10. So I guess they'll find out which is the best way to utilize him. And yeah, they'll probably gel and have a great season. They've won 7 out of 7 in France already. And let's see if they can obviously continue in the Champions League. You know, I would obviously like them to get to minimum the quarterfinals, semifinals of the Champions League, and let's see what they're made of. You know what I mean? I think last season they got to the semifinals. Season before that they got to the final. So it'll be interesting.
Mm. Yeah, it will be. And I like what Jason says. Who makes Messi lie behind a wall?
That's Marquinhos. The video. Marquinhos like Leo. and then the ref goes to check. He's like, I can't believe it. Messi's on the floor.
That was a good moment. Shout out to M-Dog Uru, who's on the line too, as well as Arjun. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
Shout out to Arjun, who messed up his remote yesterday being angry at Man United.
Was it angry or was it out of celebration because of Ronaldo's goal? That's how I read it. Anyway, Premier League update. Gentlemen, we're going to be looking at the first fixture of the weekend, Man United versus Everton. I know we're speaking about Man United a lot because... I mean, it was a lot about United last night, and now it's carried over. But against Everton, first game, opening game of the weekend. What are we thinking here? Wonga, Selo's been speaking a lot. Let's get your take on this before we go.
Why are we playing at 1:30 after Champions League? I thought they said they wouldn't do that if you play on a Wednesday.
Because there's an agenda that since Ferguson left, you know, they don't want to give the same sort of privileges to Solskjaer. They want to really test his credentials. Wonga, what do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, I don't know. But Silva's got a point there because Burnley and Norwich haven't, are not there. They could have just swapped the two around. But anyways, look, I think, I don't know about it, what's going to happen, but I think Man United are on a bad run. They have to stop it. I think, obviously now with the Ronaldo goal at the end, but I mean, I'm just talking about the way they're playing from how they started the league and where they are now. And I mean, yeah, we're 6 games. We're not in a lot, you know, but I think if, and I would assume, with the players they've got, they're contending for the league, you know, so they have to, Man United have to try and they have to try and sort out whatever's going on. But look, I mean, even if they don't sort out their problems, I'm chilled.
They're gonna catch
Arsenal. Good form, bad form. You just talk as a football fan. Like, channel your inner Musa. Channel your inner Musa. Musa would talk about Ronaldo and say, "Hey man, they need to get things together for Ronaldo." And then you would say, "Ole out, Ole out."
Musa's a Chelsea fan, and you know, Musa. He supports anyone as long as there's a new player. If they're wearing a Chelsea jersey, but they're not. You know, Chelsea fans, they're fickle. That's what I'm getting at. Wonga, that's a terrible reference.
But yeah, I mean, looking at it, I mean, just again, I'll say like what I'm just looking at what Silo said in the beginning again with the fact that the downfall will be Ole. And I mean, all these other games I've seen, yeah, the first game they were rampant. Second game, okay. And then just later, I've just seen the decisions made by, just as the guys were saying, the decisions made by the manager has been, I mean, the downfall. I mean, even the previous game when they had McFred on, I don't know what the two were doing. Even now when you guys were saying now about, what's his name? Gruno not coming back. But I mean, if he was not coming, do you not think that was an instruction by a manager? Because it happened all the time, you know? So I question it. As an Arsenal fan, I'm okay with it. As a neutral, you just look at it. It's going to be a problem for you guys.
Yeah, Stella, how do you think they're going to set up for this one? Because we know Rafa. Jason's already saying, let's go Rafa. We know he's going to go there. Between him and Ole, he's by far the better manager. So he's going to be sitting up deep. He's going to be organized. It's going to be hard to break down. All United have going for them right now is they've got Ronaldo that can pull something out of the hat. And also Cavani came on yesterday, brought some good energy, which also helped change the game. So like you said, you always speak about these individual moments, and that's pretty much all Ollie's got going for him. So what's the likelihood of Rafa spoiling the party here?
Hey man, guys, there's always a likelihood, right? I think with Ole, for instance, right, is if he's playing against a team that's got a little bit of something, you know. Aston Villa has a little bit something. We saw it obviously last season. There was quite some good results that they had last season. Even without Grealish now, they still have a bit of something. They still have good players who can get on the ball, who can do something. And Dean Smith is not too bad of a coach, you know. So if you've got the tools and you've got a good manager, you can definitely scare Man United, you know. I think what Man United needs to decide is how are they going to play and how are they going to implement their style. Yesterday, he used a 4-3-3. But he used a 4-3-3 using McTominay as a 6. McTominay is not a 6. He's a box-to-box player. So now he's exposing McTominay. Then, you know, we look better when Matic comes on because Matic knows how to play as a 6. Matic will go fetch the ball from De Gea and come up with it and pass it, you know, because he knows he plays between the lines, you know. So it's all about utilizing players in their best positions on the day, you know. Don't be utilizing a player like McTominay as a 6, you know what I mean? I think Man United fans were just happy not to see a McFred partnership, but best believe 1:30 on Saturday, you will see McFred starting.
He was resting. Interesting thing,
Solo. Last year, the last fixture they played, he didn't play McFred. He played McTominay and Pogba in the midfield.
The one we drew or the one we won?
The 1-3-3. The 1-3-3 at Old Trafford. He played McTominay and Pogba, Greenwood, Fernandes, Rashford, and then Cavani up front by himself. And the back four was obviously Leonard, Maguire, Shaw, Wan-Bissaka. Not much will change. Obviously, Ronaldo. Yeah, no. Okay, that's quite
So, Maguire is injured. Shaw is touch and go. So we'll see what happens with that regard. And then Wan-Bissaka will probably come back into the team. I would like to see Matic start. I'd like to see Matic and Pogba start in the middle, and then Sancho and Greenwood on the wings, and then Ronaldo up front again. And then also just to also make subs earlier, you know, bring on a Cavani in the 60th minute. Don't bring him on in the last 15. You know, I mean, Lingard, whoever you bring on these people early on. You know, don't bring them on late in the game. But the guy I feel sorry about is Donny van de Beek. Obviously, like Donny, guys, there was a time when Fred and Lingard is coming on, and the camera is showing those guys coming on. So if the camera just goes a little bit higher to show the players in the background, and you can see Eric Bailly going like this to Donny, like, hey man, sorry man, and like Donny's taking like his gum, and he's going like angry like that, and even. Yeah, he did that, and even Dean Henderson like touched him on his shoulder, like, "Hey man, sorry." And then Eric Bailly was also saying sorry.
What, was he told he was going to come on or something?
No, he was angry that he didn't get game time.
Hmm.
Yeah,
but also,
he hasn't been getting game time. So what is he? What unless Ole sat him down and said, "Hey man, you're going to play this week,"
and he doesn't play.
That's a different story. But
the problem is that he was Everton submitted a loan bid and. And what's this? And Donny was happy to go on loan at Everton, and then Solskjaer said, "No, you're an important player in my squad," and didn't allow the loan. And instead, I'm going to use you. So then, you don't use him. Then you play him in the Carabao Cup, like one game, and then you play in the Champions League the other game, and then we got a red card and we took him off whatever. And then since then, he hasn't played. Didn't play the league. I don't know when the last time he played the league. He doesn't even get 10 minutes. Madness. I'm not saying he must start the game. But give the guy 15 minutes at least. You know, he's putting on... that's what I'm saying. I'm not expecting the guy to start every single match for Man United. I'm just expecting a guy to play a part. And when I mean play a part, 15 minutes here, start a game here, 20 minutes there,
So then on that note, do you think then, if he's not getting much game time leading to January, he's going to be definitely saying he
must go. Man United supporters... across the world, need to sign a petition that he must go. Unless Ole is gone by that time. If Ole is gone by that time, then he can stay, and then a new coach can.
No, but you can't be killing.
Look, by that time, that's a valid point, because by that time they would have gone through that run. And again, just out of curiosity, I know Everton's the first real test coming up here, and I say it's a test now because if you're looking at the log, they're fifth on the log, exact identical record to Man United, same points. Only difference being they've scored one goal less and they conceded two more goals than United. That's the only difference. But when we're looking at it, United and Ole, do you think he's going to come? What's your gut feeling saying here, Celo, in terms of this run that's coming up? Do you think he's going to manage to pull it off, pull a rabbit out of the hat, or do you think it's going to be the end of it?
Yeah.
What's the gut saying? The gut's got quiet. What's your gut saying, Wonga?
Look,
what's up, Louis? Louis in the house.
Louis Murray.
As much as you'd want, you know, Man United to drop points, I just think there's too much pressure on everyone to do that. And I think they've got players who want to win. You know, not players who are going to be your players like Bruno Fernandes, Ronaldo. You've got Varane. I think those sort of players are going to be wanting. To win the game because they know what's behind them. I don't think they're going to have much fear in them, and I think that's what will probably pull them over the line. But Everton, like again, Rafa, like we know that Man United will play well against the team that's going to open up against them. I think Rafa will use his common sense, and you know, if he tries to go take the game to them, Man United will go and win it, I mean, clean. So there's definitely going to see a huge defensive element there from Rafa's side. A point will be good for them.
Yeah, they'll definitely take a point. Arjun's saying Ole will do really well in these hard fixtures. 18 out of 21 points for sure. Then they lose 5 games to the bottom half teams. Happens every year. So I mean, Arjun's saying he's already got something to say. Celo, you've gone quiet. What do you think? You still haven't answered the question.
Well, so let's see what happens. I think he will probably win a couple of the games, draw a few of them, and also lose a few of them. So I think out of those fixtures with the rest of the top six, basically, if we can break it down like that, and including the Leicester and the Everton game, which is what Arjun is alluding to. I think 4 wins out of 7. One or two losses and a draw. So probably 4 wins, 2 losses, or 4 wins, 2 draws and one loss out of that 7 games, yeah. Something like that. Something along those lines.
Okay. So steady ship. Chelsea looking dodgy, guys. Arjun saying Chelsea looking dodgy. Okay.
We'll touch on Chelsea. I think that's another reason that Musa's not here. He under Tuchel, he doesn't know what it means to lose 2 in a row. It happened last season when they lost to Arsenal and Leicester 2 in a row. So I think he just forgot about how it feels. And they were on this high wave.
It wasn't even under anything.
They've been brought down to earth. You should see the Chelsea fans on Twitter, guys. They've been now they're actually we're like, guys, thank God, guys. Now you calm. Now at least you're relaxed. You guys at least like Liverpool fans. Liverpool fans got calmed down by last season. They also like they relaxed. So now Chelsea must also go. You know what I mean? Yeah. Us Man United fans, we can't be anywhere because we haven't won anything. So we just get excited by game, you know? Like, hey, you guys are just, you know, the Chelsea fans were just like...
Listen, the roof was on fire yesterday after that 95th equaliser. People weren't, they didn't leave the stadium, they were still singing. So, for you know, it's an interesting place because I'm looking at that bit. I mean, it's also a great game, good result, et cetera, et cetera. But as a fan, you're celebrating that good time, but how happy are you really?
You're not like really happy. You're only happy because the team won and you have to support the club still. But you're not happy with the performance. Like the performance was not great, man. And that's what I want. That's what I want to see, man. I think if De Gea wasn't there, if it was Dean Henderson goal, we would have lost 4-1.
But that's what I say. You see, that's what I'm saying, Silo. Like you see, you guys pulled over. I mean, like you got David De Gea who saved you. Made sure you guys kept a clean. He kept many balls out.
Only one goal.
Then you had like your Bruno Fernandes, you had your Cavani who came on, Ronaldo, all those guys who wanted to win the game. You could see it. And I think that'll more often than not pull Man United over the line. And I think at the end of the day you guys might just end up keeping Ole. The question is, can those guys win a cup, even with some bad decisions getting made? That's the only thing.
Look, if they could win last night and they got the players that they have, anything's possible, really, because it is football and the ball is round, and we know that. Okay, Chelsea versus Southampton. Arjun's already touched on this. You're talking about people coming back down to earth, Selo. Wonga Denga, the Denganator. Chelsea hosting Southampton. Southampton, they got mad fans. Those fans travel, and they travel well. And I actually watched the Chelsea-Southampton game live at Stamford Bridge. And that moment for me was a turning point from Southampton point of view because I sat really close to that crowd and they ended up winning 3-1 on the day when Sadio Mane was still there, when who was the Italian guy playing up front? He was still there. They went to the Chinese League.
It starts with a P.
Yes.
Where is this at?
I know.
Graziano
Pelle.
Pelle, yes. So, I watched the game live, and after that, I was just like, wowza, that was a good Southampton team. So, I'm not saying Chelsea are going to struggle much here, but, Wonga, how do you think it's going to shake up? Tuchel, obviously, back-to-back defeats, Champions League, and last week against Man City. Southampton, I think, they've been horrible, horrible form. So, surely this is a place where they're going to pick up some favour, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, look, Southampton, I mean, they managed to keep Man City out their goals when they played there at the Etihad this season, if this is correct, yeah. According to what I'm seeing here, Man City only registered one shot on target out of the
season. Man City should have lost because of the penalty that they wasn't given, man.
You see. And they had 2 shots on target and 10. They also managed to take a lot of shots. So I think Southampton, if looking at something like that, I think they do have, I mean, sort of the ability to trouble Chelsea squad, especially Chelsea squad that's just now lost 2 games in a row. And like Selo said, it's new to them. Something they haven't crossed, you know, and now everyone is, that no one knows what's happening. And Tuchel said it himself, that he doesn't know why he lost the game. You know, things were not, so the training session was good. He thought he prepared well. They came in there and they never got anything to click off, you know, so, and he was not, He just doesn't understand what's happening at the moment. So he's also trying to figure things out as well. So I think, I don't think this is going to be as straightforward as one would think. I thought Juventus stood no chance. I've also watched Juventus over the weekend. I thought, no ways, they stand no chance. And when I saw this 1-0, I said, hey, it's that thing of losing a game. You lose one. The next one becomes difficult.
You start questioning everything else that you've been doing.
You start questioning, yeah. But I also think, guys, Juventus needed to kickstart their season at some point in time. At some point in time, they needed to kickstart their season. Yes, they're 11th in Serie A. They've had some tough games and some games maybe they should have won. And this was their kickstart. And they didn't have Diabala and Morata, but they still managed to get the 3 points. So I think also Chelsea maybe underestimated them, didn't take them as seriously. But Chelsea fans are asking questions about who should be starting with Lukaku. Havertz hasn't set the season alight as yet. Hasn't taken that form from last season into the new season. Ziyech, apparently he's too concerned with his Instagram and how he looks on Instagram and not serious as a footballer. And then Timo Werner, we know he can't score a goal to save his life.
Sounds like a
brilliant. You know what I mean? And then who else is there? You know, Hudson-Odoi doesn't get much chance.
That's another player that's been offered so many chances to get out, and they've just held on to him.
Exactly, but the end of the game with Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi, and Barkley all on the field, guys, and all Chelsea fans are saying all these three guys played better than the guys who started the game. So they see them actually getting some game time, and so let's see.
Gentlemen, look at Aljun's comment here. Lukaku isn't a big game player. Ask any United fan. We know who'd be jumping on this right now, don't we?
Musa would be jumping on this. And the only thing I can say, and I can say in this regard, is that yes, when he was at United, that was the biggest concern that we had. In the big games, I think he only had like 2 out of 10 goals, 2 out of 10 games. Whereas Rashford had like 7 out of 10 or something, you know. So yeah, big games, we don't know what happens.
What do you think that is? If we've got to look deeper into it and see, okay, we know he's come back from Italy. He's saying he's developed his game. He's finally got into a point where he can turn a player and hold the ball, which is what he says he's better at now, and maybe a little bit better. I still don't think it's his strongest part of his game. But what do you think it is when he does come to the game? Do you think the opponents just know how to really nullify him? Because if you catch him one-on-one, he's not skillful enough to beat the guy because he relies on raw pace and physicality.
But I think the chance creation is one thing as well. How many chances, how many genuine chances does he get in a big game? You know, because sometimes what happens is that you maybe only get 2 chances in a big game. And those chances sometimes are half chances. You know, And that's the thing, is that the best strikers in the world, that are always doing well in all kinds of games, they take their half chances. You know, they don't really need that many chances to score. You know, so maybe Lukaku requires a lot more chances for him to score, which then isn't good for a team like Chelsea in like the Juventus game, where I think he only got 1 chance.
Look, apparently in Italy, he did improve his conversion rate. That was one thing significant.
No, he did. He did.
Yeah,
he did.
Really changed.
No, he did.
If you look at his thing, if you look at what Solo is saying now, I think, they need to... I just think it's the amount of chance he gets. Because even if you look at his international record and the players that are supplying him, you're getting De Bruyne, you've got Hazard. I mean, there's quality around that partnership. And his goal ratio there at for Belgium is close to 1-1. I think, if I'm not mistaken.
His last 60 internationals is 1-1.
Yeah. So he's someone that can convert. You know, he can convert given the opportunities. I don't think that's a problem. So maybe that's a problem. He's not getting the chances.
No, chance creation, guys. Chance creation. Chelsea had 1 shot on target in that game.
That's
one shot on target. Out of I think it's out of 14 shots at goal, they had one on target.
Fair enough. Yeah. That makes sense when you're looking at it. So it's actually Tuchel needs to try and have a plan B pretty much, and they are looking to Lukaku to solve those problems. And maybe that's also why Mosa was frustrated at a signing like that, because you do kind of need a player. Like, we're looking at Ronaldo. You mentioned the big game sort of players just need their one chance, which is quite interesting. But overall, Cyril, what do you think the feeling of the game is going to be on the weekend for Chelsea?
No, I think obviously they need to bounce back from after two defeats. Let's see what they do. But I think as Wanga alluded to, is the fact that the Saints have started the season not too badly. You know, drew against Man United, drew against Man City. And yeah, I think that is a great confidence boost for them as a team to say, guys, hey guys, we lost some of our three best players, but we still let's do it. You know, we still have Ward-Prowse leading us, and all the other players are still there. And yeah, let's make it difficult for Chelsea, like we made it difficult for Man United and Man City.
Cool, fair enough. Right, big game for the weekend for Wanga Denga. Brighton versus Arsenal. And this is a big one because Brighton, they're flying. They are seagulls, and they're the highest win right now.
Are they ahead of Arsenal?
Man United. They're in the same points as Man United. So let's also not look further. I mean,
just ask Wanga. Are they ahead of
after? Arsenal? Yeah, they ahead now, and after they will be. Because it'll be 13-12, but yeah, not for long. I think Arsenal, if they continue with what they're doing, I mean, now we've got we've got 5 wins in a row, which is it's good from that that horrible start we had in the beginning. I think look, Brighton are flying, but I think if I'm looking at Arsenal and the way they're playing, and also Shaka, unfortunate for him, out for 3 months now. I think from that challenge that I think they gave him a nice dead calf there. There's a knee straight to the calf. But yeah, he's out for 3 months now, Shaka. And I think now that gives opportunity.
Oh, happy days. I'm not saying that you're not happy. Every week he complains about the player.
Wanga's the happiest guy in the world right now, guys.
he's really holding his emotion back there. You can't see it. He doesn't get too excited. But that's his ecstatic face. Look at how ecstatic he is.
We don't celebrate other people's
injuries
and pain. Yeah, but we can celebrate that Lukonga will probably be given more time to play. I think that I wanted to see this because, number one, the first thing I complained about was holding and Chambers. Any Premier League team would love that. They have slipped down the first team choice, and our defense looks much better now. You know, Lukonga, maybe it's just a preference. I don't know, but I think if he's on the field, he's getting game time. I think there's a lot he can learn from all that experience, and I think he could be a vital player. I mean, if they want to keep him, I think he'll be a vital player for the future, and also not even the future. I think for now, gee whiz, I think we need him in that team, especially a team like Brighton, who can punish him with Partey and Lukonga there.
I wonder if Ives Bissouma is back for this game, because he missed the last game, and Brighton weren't as good in the midfield without him. You know, I think he's quite a very important player, and a player that definitely, I think, next season needs to be going to a top six team, because he's got the quality to play for a top six team. So just interesting to see. Let's see injury latest. But I think he might not be available, so which will help you guys to at least dominate the midfield against him.
And I think, this is the truth. Sorry, just this is an intermission here. Look at this. This is the truth here, Arjun. Mosa missing in action. He becomes invisible every time Chelsea lose.
100%.
Every time, Mosa!
Every time.
Typical Chelsea fan. I'm gonna have a fun time now. Chelsea have won. Oh, sorry, unavailable for this week. Oh, thank you. Yeah, okay. All right, but yeah, Wanga, sit up. If we're looking at Brighton, we're looking at Arsenal. You convinced that Arsenal are going to walk away with this. How are they going to do it? Are they going to break down this Brighton side?
Look, I'm not going to lie to you. Look, Brighton, they deserve. I mean, they even beat Leicester. You know, they've beaten Leicester. They drew against Crystal Palace. You've seen Crystal Palace what they can do. I think also Crystal Palace also maybe still trying to find out what they're trying to do as well. But it's not going to be easy. I'm not going to lie and say it's going to be a simple walkover. It's not going to be easy. I think these guys are confident. They've seen who Arsenal is. They're not going to come there and respect Arsenal. They're going to say, look, they're going to believe that they are better than Arsenal and they can win. And I think Arsenal just need to approach it the same way they approached Tottenham, with that thing of, you know, they must find a reason, goodness me, look for a flippant reason to win that game, you know, and I think that'll help them throughout the game. But it's not going to be an easy one. It's not going to be as easy as Tottenham was. That's going to be not going to be as easy as Tottenham.
I listen to it. Also, Matt's gone. Matt's not here on Thursdays. One guy's his voice is loud.
No, but guys, honestly, you guys know it as well. Everyone knows it. I think for me, yes, Arsenal played well, but Tottenham were, goodness me, the horrendous. I would love it if every team defended like that. Not even the weakest teams defend like that the whole time. I mean Leeds do Leeds do that when they're defending as well, as open as they are? Do they do that? No. That was disorganized mayhem. I think Brighton are a bit more organized than that. And I think they will be difficult to break on, but I think we can.
And that's, I like what you said there. I like that you said that Brighton would be eager. They're eager to have this game, and it's one that they think that they can get something from. Look, if you look at the rest of the league, they all think maybe there's something to get from Arsenal. But still, from a Brighton perspective, how much do you think that will work in their favour, and how much do you think it might be completely detrimental for them if they're too overconfident against an Arsenal?
No, man, I think you need to obviously give Arsenal the respect still. I think they're still a team with good players on the day. You know, they've got some great talent, your Sakas and your Odegaards and so on. I think you still need to give them a level of respect. Aubameyang was looking good on in the last game, fired up, you know. So you must, you know, still play as you're playing a bigger team, you know, and make it difficult for them to obviously impose their game on you. But what I like about Brighton, guys, is that Brighton still play their style, right? And they don't concede a lot of goals. You know, their goal difference last season was single digit, negative single digit, whereas teams around them had like double digits negative goal difference, you know. So it shows that they're quite strong at the back. Lewis Dunk is a very good defender. I rate him. I always have him in my fantasy team. Because I feel that Brighton don't concede like 5 goals, and he scores goals. You know what I mean? So if anyone's on fantasy, Lewis Dunk is a good player to have. So they got good players, and their goalkeeper is a good shot stopper. You know, cool. He under the high ball is not that great, but definitely in terms of shot stopping is quite good. So I think it'll be a great game to watch on the weekend. Looking forward to it. Hopefully this weekend I can get some more football to watch. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, man. It would have been nice to still have Percy Tau there, but the kid obviously wanted to. I don't know.
I think, look, Percy if Tau. I'm looking at. Again, I see Arjun asking me, do I have the right to be that confident? Look, it's not confidence. Guys, Tottenham were acres. They were in two parts of the, they were miles apart. You know, there was a canal through the middle. And I think, I don't think it would be, to say that it's good we got the results in the way we won, but I think if you look at it and analyze it properly, you say that Tottenham were not there in the day. But another positive for Arsenal, we conceded 9 in those first few games we played. And now, ever since they put Tomiyasu in, we had Gabriel back, and we put White there. In the last 5 matches, we've only conceded 1 goal. 9-1. So there's a huge difference there. So for me, Arteta, again, I know he loves holding. I know he loves Chambers. I know Chambers is like Arsenal's son, whatever, but there's the proof. The proof is there. You don't change that. Now the only thing that will it was now what's going to be put to test now is what I've been saying in terms of Xhaka being out the team. Let's see who gets to start, and they can find something new there. Let's see what.
I think it's a blessing. I know you don't want to celebrate the players' injuries, and that's. I mean, you never want to wish ill upon anyone, but I do think it's a blessing because when a senior player is out, a manager then whose job is kind of on the line is allowed to be giving a player, a younger player, a chance because he's got no one else to play. And it's almost like the Barcelona situation with Ronald Koeman is pretty much, like I said yesterday, playing chicken with Juan Laporte, saying, listen, I dare you fire me, because if you fire me, you got to pay me out. Just throwing all the youngsters on and getting carrots in the Champions League.
Amen. But also, guys, you know, someone was obviously saying something about Ronald Koeman is a failed Everton manager and so on. You know, whatever the guy did at Everton is whatever he did at Everton, right? That guy did quite well at that Southampton, and he did well in Netherlands. Guys, yeah. if your team, the structure, everything behind the team is in shambles and falling apart, you as the coach, you can only deal with the hand that you dealt with. You know what I mean? You're a manager that comes into a team that's falling apart, guys. You know what I mean? How many managers have come to Man United and tried to do well? Jose Mourinho struggled. Van Gaal struggled. It's because the club is in shambles. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Club doesn't recruit well. Doesn't, you know what I mean? It's only now we look better because our recruitment has been at least better. You know, and under Ole. But before that, Mourinho never got the players that he wanted. So you can just imagine, guys. It's always tough when you don't have the backing.
I agree.
What's quite nice about the Koeman thing, I don't know if you know this, but he actually paid to get out of his contract.
Yeah,
with the
five million, yeah. So,
yeah, he put his own money down. So, and so here's the thing. He has to serve. I think it's within 2-3 years. If they fire him within those 3 years, they have to pay it all back. Plus, obviously, the contract that he has, which is fantastic. Yeah. That's why he's got nothing to lose. And also, there was that journalist sort of press agenda. I don't know if anyone saw that, where he came out saying, you know, he just called a statement that no one knew they were going to do it. But apparently, the president, Laporta, he actually called all the journalists saying, you know, he's going to get rid of Koeman. And that's what was in the plan. And it got filtered back to him. So Koeman's like, well, stuff this. He's not playing games anymore. This communication's clearly broken down. If you only give him youngsters, that's what I'm going to play. So fair play to him. But also, gentlemen,
Yeah, man, speak up, man.
You've been versus Man City.
Let's hear.
Also, where's Sam? I am. Sam got so loud on Tuesday. Wanted to know our predictions for this week, and now Sam's not sure.
Man, Sam is Sam is on a Pusa Thursday, man. He's on a bender.
Do you know Sam?
No, I don't know Sam. I don't know Sam. Do you know Sam?
I don't know Sam. But Sam was referring to us as mates. So I'm wondering if he's English or if he's from South Africa. That's all I'm wondering.
You never know, guys. You never know. But all I know is he's a family member of the of Goal Lounge TV.
Yes, I like that. Okay, right. So Man City, Liverpool, gentlemen. Obviously, Liverpool hosting Man City. Man City, obviously, not getting the best out of their Champions League fixture this week. Liverpool, you know, given the affordance to take Salah, Mane, and obviously I think it was Milner taking off 60 minutes, so rest some players, getting the goals in, confidence is high. Liverpool have played a total of 6 games and have scored 3 goals or more in consecutive games. So they're coming into this game at Anfield, and also a fully Anfield, might I add. So you've got to kind of look at it, is everyone still there? Am I still there?
Did I freeze?
I froze.
No, I froze.
Hello?
Who froze?
Hello? Who froze? Who froze?
I froze. I don't know. I just saw the screen.
Did I freeze? You froze.
No, your screen went black and my screen went black, but both one state.
No, mine went
blank on my side. Aliens.
Funny thing, 8:30. Every time my internet goes out, I look at the clock and it's 8:30.
Everyone jumps on at 8:30. There's clearly a show in the area that, you know, people are watching at 8:30. What didn't you hear me say?
You're still talking about Salah being rested.
Yeah. Okay. So what I was saying prior to that is that Liverpool have now scored 3 or more goals in 6 consecutive games. They do have a fully packed Anfield yet to welcome a Man City. So the fans are going to be there. That's also going to be something to consider. We know Pep's not going to want to lose this game. And I think if I'm Pep in this situation, I'd rather take a point than lose all of them, because at least he can stay in the hunt. Because what does losing this game mean to either one of these sides right now at this point in the league? Does it mean a psychological event? Nothing. You don't think so?
No. I'm not mean nothing. I mean, like, it doesn't mean that the team is out of the title challenge. It just means that the other team has more confidence boost to push on.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So it's a huge, it can be a psychological boost, right? So if he whoever gets us, I mean, at Man City, like Louis is saying, he'll be happy with a 3-1. Also, a nice profile pick there, Louis. Nice update. I see you moved on from your Super Brew cap, although you're a killer at that game. So if Man City do come away from Anfield with 3 points, what is the rest of the league saying when you're looking at Liverpool right now as well? They all then go, this is City has to lose yet again. So in this sort of scenario, it's going to be interesting. I think Pep Guardiola is going to come in. Like I said, he's not going to want to lose it. He's going to sit deeper, personally speaking. Whereas Liverpool, you know what to expect from Liverpool. They're going to come guns blazing first 50 minutes. They're not going to be hiding anything. And we're going to see what's happening. And I think for me, the difference between the two sides at the moment, those goals that I'm referring to about Liverpool's side, you've got Salah, who's sitting on 8 goals so far this season. 8. You've got Mane has chipped in, I think it was 4 goals. Jota's on 4 goals. And make fun of him all you want, but even Firmino's got 3 goals this season, more than Harry Kane. So, in total, that's 18 goals just from our front 4 players. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the difference. I don't know what anyone's going to say here.
That's what I'm going to say. But anyways,
Guys are saying that every week.
Yeah. Let's leave January, guys, because this January thing, let's leave it there. But what I can say, guys, is that it'll be an interesting game. Obviously, there was a bit of a massacre last season when the citizens went to Anfield. So let's see.
Read that there. Another fan, another member of our squad.
Mosa, calling Mosa Mosa up. Up. Another Mosa one. Needs to come own up, guys. He needs to
own up, Mosa.
Where is he?
Where is he? Always. It's not even like it's not even sometimes. It's like it's perfect.
Guys,
you put this here, this guy not here. Lost Mosa, like, not here.
I feel like calling him, guys. I feel like
calling him.
I feel like calling him.
But what are you saying? Like what are you saying before you call him? What are you saying?
No,
I was saying, let me see if I can get a hold of him. You keep going.
Okay, no, cool. I was saying that, no, man, it's going to be obviously, Liverpool's going to try and right the wrongs of last season's game at Anfield where they lost, what was it, 3-1 or whatever?
4-1. They were smacked.
It was 4-1, yeah. So you got the, 4-1, they got smacked. But, you know, I think Liverpool are in a better place than they were last season. You know, obviously now it's going to be a trickier game for them. So let's see what happens. It's going to be very interesting. I think,
Mosa, just give me a second. I've got some bad news for you. The Roosters have come home and, they're ready to roost, my friend. Can you hear Mosa?
Being loud and clear. Okay.
Speak up, Mosa. Mosa.
Hold on. Mosa, we've got people online here.
Marcus is asking, where is Chelsea supporter to answer for the loss against Juventus? 2 losses in a row. Man is hiding. Arjun and Marcus came on the show just to see you.
I'm not hiding, gentlemen. I'm traveling. Sorry, gentlemen. if I can put in a little 2 cents there, it's been a tough few weeks for teams and the team, but we're definitely going to bounce back in no time.
Arjun's asking, he doesn't care about any of that, he's saying, where are you?
He knows, I was supposed to link up with him earlier on today, but unfortunately due to travel, I couldn't make it.
Okay, well, that's a boring conversation. Travel well. We'll chat to you later. And also, your caps. This is our 97th episode, Mosa.
Come on.
Okay, cheers, Mosa.
Cheers, Mosa. Cheers. You're hiding from us, but it's all good. It's all good, Mosa.
Definitely hiding. Right, Selo, finish your point with the Man City thing. How do you think it's
going to be? Yeah, man, I think it's going to be a very interesting game. I think actually it's going to be a draw. I'm already giving my prediction now. But I think it'll be very interesting. Let's see what happens. Dynamics. Let's see what Pep does starting that up. I think you need to start a Ferran Torres and a Gabriel Jesus because I think I've been liking the way they've been firing up front. I think they're the two players that could actually give Liverpool's defense a bit of headaches, you know. So let's see what happens. Yeah.
So just this in Trenta Alexander, the Jeepers, Anyways, Trent is injured. He's not going to be available for the weekend. Muscle issues. Thiago's still out. I do think
how are you guys going to set up in the midfield then?
Yeah, but let me. I'm just getting to that. What I love the season started. Elliot was playing, right? Elliot, the poor kid gets injured. Everyone's talking really highly about Elliot. And you know, Morse said one or two good things. Now we've got Curtis Jones. He was there last season. Didn't look like he's getting much of a look in. Thiago's injured. And all of a sudden, Curtis Jones is taking it by the horns. And he's saying, I'm here, coach. Put me in. And two consecutive games, he's been our best player. So that's exciting. Curtis Jones he's going to come in.
Curtis Jones was hectic last season, bro.
But he's better. He's better. You should have seen him against Porto. The guy was killing it.
He scored 3 goals in 2 games right now.
Yeah, he's done well. But then also check his assist. His Bobby Firmino assist. Just see what he's done. He's inside his own half. He's pressed by 2 players. He turns out of that one long ball over the top. He's just got good energy. He's an intelligent player.
Cody, I don't like watching Liverpool highlights when they win.
No, I wonder why.
No, it just doesn't. I just don't like it. Like, I just, you know, when Liverpool win maybe 1-0, I'll watch the highlight. But 5-1, now I have to watch 5 Liverpool celebrations. That's too much for me.
You see, that's what I said. I wonder why. What I loved about it, though, I want to point on. I mean, the guy's 20-21, right? He picks up the ball inside his own half. How many times have you seen a situation where the team is like a 4v3 or 3v3, and then they're not successful? The decision-making is poor, and the opportunity has gone out the window. How many times you see it? You see it pretty often, even at the highest level, right? PSL, 100%. You see it every week. This guy, he picks up the ball from the halfway line. And he runs the whole way. And the timing of this is so brilliant because he waits and he waits and he waits and he waits for the runners to go off the ball. And then he slots it and he puts Salah through on goal. And that, for me, was huge maturity in terms of how he can read the game. All right. But, gentlemen, it looks like you're not that interested in talking about Liverpool. So we might as well jump in.
No, no, we are.
We might as well just jump into the...
But my question...
I was trying to see if I could see the highlights now.
How are you guys going to set up in the midfield is my question. Obviously,
the midfield.
Who's the midfield 3? Is my question.
Fabinho, obvious. Hendo comes back in. And then Curtis Jones is going to get the run. He deserves the run, in my opinion.
That's cool.
You can't not start him. In my opinion, if he doesn't start, I'll be shocked.
And then Milner right back. Or Gomez.
That's Milner. It has to be. The guy's too experienced. No.
Joe Gomez.
Although, could you imagine Joe Gomez against Sterling? That'd be lovely.
Grealish. Because of the injury. The fight
yeah,
again. That'll be actually quite nice. Let's do it. Let's give Klopp a call, man.
Yeah, but I think Milner's going to be the right choice. I think there's just too much experience there. He knows how to get stuck in. He'll leave a boot or two on the players.
That's a hot take. That's a hot take from Arjun. Curtis Jones, Greenwood, and Saka are better than Mount
and
Foden.
Agreed. You know, I was gonna send that through. After watching Curtis playing, I mean, this guy can play deeper in the midfield. He can play higher up the field. And then I'm comparing him to Foden. I'm like, why is there so much hype around Foden when you compare them? And that's just Curtis Jones. Now you've mentioned Greenwood. You've also got Saka. I agree with everything here. All three of those players, in my opinion, are better than Foden.
I agree with Arjun on that one, eh? Not that Foden's a bad player. No ways. But Curtis Jones for me, out of all the lot, I think Curtis Jones for me is, I mean, I'm look, not downplaying what Saka's done, but Curtis Jones, yes, he just looks dangerous, guys. And I mean, his age, the composure he puts in, I think,
even have a young crop of players, definitely. I think
he's not a second.
Those 5 plus Bellingham and others, you know, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, true.
For me, what blows my mind is how technically brilliant they all are. They're all technically really, really good players. They've got that Spanish sort of like traditionally, you look at Brazil or you look at Spain, you'd be like, that's what made them superior. And I think it's getting that, we spoke about it during the Euros, getting that sort of psychology out there and being, you know, we can play, we are ball players. And that's going to be an interesting transition.
It's the development as well. The development, the influence of having that European guys coming into the developments and they adding to these boys.
The coaching, all those first team coaches. England are the benefactors here. That's the truth. Yeah. They just need 100%. The right manager. I don't think South gets the right manager, but that's a topic for another day. I think on the point of Man City, Curtis Jones and Bellingham, gentlemen, have you seen him at Dortmund at the moment?
He's the best. He's the best for me.
He's ravaging.
Ridiculous.
He's amazing, bro. He's amazing.
Then there's that what's the other kid there in, although he's German now.
Musiala, Musiala, also great, Musiala, Jamal Musiala.
Really?
He's from
ridiculous.
He's from Chelsea development. He's also great. He's also good. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't say anything about him because now he's German. But if he was to say he was English,
he was still English. So Claudio, you confident for Sunday's game?
Well, I think you have to be confident. You have to be
I'm just thinking like now for me, just quickly. I think Mets. If I look at it, I'm just looking at now. If I just look at it just from what's happened, I think Man City, I can't see Man City scoring, you know, and I said that with the Chelsea game, but they managed to pull one off. I think this game will also, if Liverpool don't ravage them, it'll end up being like a 1-0 to either team, but I can't see Man City getting a lot of goals in the game. That thing I can't see.
Yes. Good shot. Right. Let's go betting corner. It is time. Let's start with the first game of the weekend, Man United versus Everton.
Okay, who's starting first?
Wonga Denga, me, and then you're going to end off, Settle.
Okay, cool.
Yo, Man United versus Everton. I say 2-0 to Everton. I mean, to Man United, sorry. 2-0 to Man United.
Stop it.
I don't think.
Sorry, Wonga. Just listen to this. Arjun Singh. So you're telling me England could line up with Rice, Curtis Jones, Bellingham in midfield, and Saka, Greenwood and Rashford in attack in a few years? Stop it. Anyway, okay, as you were, Wonga.
No, yeah, listen. I was just saying.
2-0 to Man United.
Yeah, 2-0 to Man United. Yeah, I don't see. I think what I was saying with what's his name, with Ole Gunnar. I don't think they, like, he always loses and he comes back, bad performance, comes back. So this might be the one, not conceding, 2-0.
I'm thinking, I was going to go with a 1-1 draw, but then again, you've got Ronaldo and I think it's going to be a late one again. It's either going to be a draw or it's going to be a late victory. I don't think they're not going to have control. So even if they go one up early, Man United, Everton will find a way to get claw their way back into the game. So I'm gonna settle with the 1-1 draw.
What's this? Just before I carry on, those who are in South Africa and those who don't know South Africa, but we've moved to level one as of tomorrow. So at least we locked down level one, guys. At least we can, you know, breathe a bit more, you know. But still, vaccinate, guys. Please come on. Let's get the numbers up. But yeah,
with all our public service announcement there.
Yeah, public service announcement. Yeah. But yeah, so I think it's going to be a 2-1 victory to Man United. I think we just, man, just somehow we just get the results over the line. Never convincing. Always conceding. Always let the opponents get chances. And that for me is something that I don't like and I hate. I can never sit easily and just watch a Man United game and relax. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just want to watch your team win 1-0 and that's all. Score a goal in the 45th minute or 44th minute, whatever it is, and then just close shop and it's relaxed. You know what I mean? Now this thing of now every single 2 minutes my heart is racing up and down, man. I'm 30 years old, man. I might have a problem, you know what I mean? Come on, you know? So yeah, but 2-1 to Man United.
You know what's funny about that, Solo, is I was literally, while I was watching the Porto game on Tuesday,
yeah,
it's these last couple of years being a Liverpool fan has been an interesting change in identity. Because, like, normally you look at Liverpool, always the underdog, you know, coming back. We weren't ever guaranteed a victory. Not saying that we always guaranteed a victory now, but the team's really transformed. And watching the game, like, they scored now, I'm like, yeah, I still celebrate. But it's a different feeling. It's a very different feeling knowing I'm expecting them to be up and they're on top, as opposed to the heart racing. So in terms of what you experienced yesterday. And what really, to be fair, also experienced against AC Milan. All right, next game. Chelsea versus Southampton. Wonga, let's hear it.
I say 1-1 draw. It'd be difficult for them, but yeah.
1-1 draw. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Wow.
Chelsea, actually, you know what? That's a fair shot, because if you're looking at it, Southampton, 4 draws in a row. They know how to keep things tight. They know how to frustrate teams. You mentioned earlier on the show that Chelsea is finding it hard to sort of find opportunities. So, yeah, I'm going to go 0-0.
Mm, no. I say 1-0 to Chelsea. I think they'll want to perform and do something. So I think 1-1, yeah. I was for 1-0, sorry.
It's 1-0. Next game, Brighton versus Arsenal.
I see 3-1 to Arsenal.
3-1 Arsenal. Jeepers, just. I'm going to go 2-1 Brighton victory.
No ways. They won't score 2 goals against us.
Did you say 2-1?
2-1 to Brighton.
No ways. They won't score 2 goals against us. They might not even score a goal.
I say, guys, it's going to be 1-1.
1-1. Wonga, you're the only man backing your team there. All right, but let's see who's going to back my team. Liverpool versus Man City. Wonga, let's hear it. What are you going with? And don't be upset because I said Brighton are going to beat Arsenal. Be honest about this.
1-0 Man City.
1-0 Man City. I'm going to say, jeepers, you know, I wouldn't mind Liverpool conceding 2 goals as long as we scored 4. So, and I'm hoping. I don't think we're going to get that sort of game. I think it's going to be a 1-goal difference. But I wouldn't mind a goal rush, to be honest, from both sides. But I'm gonna say 1-0. So let's say 2-1 to Liverpool, 2-1 victory.
I say 1-0 to Man City.
There we go, Silla.
But do you really believe that?
I do.
Why? Oh. Why do you believe that?
Because I watched Man City in the week, and then I think they want to obviously press on in the Premier League a little bit more after a good result against Chelsea last week. I think obviously the loss to PSG where they dominated the game but just didn't take the chances. I think they obviously want to tweak some things out in the Premier League. Obviously Liverpool will have the confidence at home with the fans and everything. But yeah, I definitely do see a 1-0 victory for Chelsea for City. I mean, sorry.
Okay, fine. Fair enough, if that's what you think. All right, gentlemen, final thoughts for this evening. Final thoughts.
Oh, guys, my final thought is, guys, we need to fetch Moussa next time that Chelsea lose. This thing is unacceptable. He cannot miss. I've been on the show, win or lose, draw, thrashing everything. I'm just there. Humiliation against Young Boys. I'm here, guys. I'm here. I can take the heat. I can dish it out and I can take
that it. That was still a highlight of the goal launch sort of episodes, I think, personally speaking, for me. I don't know about you, Wonga, if you enjoy that too.
But for me, I think, final thoughts, I just want to reply to Marcus here. Marcus saying that my team has spent £140 and no results. Look, Marcus, I think, look, now they've got Tomoyasu, who spent money on, Ben White, who spent money on there. They've got Ramsdale. That's £1 million there for Ramsdale save. So we need another 25 from him.
It's that bad. We have to count like the money, like the saves. He's made this saves, so he's gotten the money back type of thing. Wow.
Get in the piggy bank.
No, right. I'm joking. But seriously, though, look at Tomoyasu, Ben White. They've put them there. They've gotten rid of the nonsense, and they we've literally conceded 1 in 5, and I think that's acceptable for anything. That's acceptable.
That's fair enough. I think that's a decent shout there, Wonga. I think let's take it easy. Let's see if they can get the victory cost line with Brighton so they can build your argument as things come or when as things go on.
They do.
Yes. Okay. When they do. Gentlemen, thank you to everyone who was online with us from Arjun, Marcus, Jason popped in, M-Dog Guru, and M-Dog Louis. Let's not forget Louis. Good people, good part of the Goal Lounge family. Thank you very much. And gentlemen, enjoy the football this weekend.
And yeah, guys, don't forget, 100th show, we'll be giving away a Goal Lounge TV t-shirt. So please tune into the show and we might try and organize some other stuff, guys. Let's see what the Magic Fingers can do.
But on that note, giving away the shirts, I think we're going to just create a little bit of rules there. You have to be subscribed to the channel. That's first and foremost. And you have to
Following one of the social media pages.
At least because, Instagram or Twitter.
Or Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. So at least you have to be on one of those, yeah. Fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. And that's how we're going to do it. Cyril, you want to end the show off there? How do we end off the show? You ready? 3, 2, 1. Wonga.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Oh, Wonga, you